Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk, Lance Meadow with you. 201-939-4513. We'll be taking your calls all show long and also monitoring Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. And obviously, it could not have been a more disastrous night for the New York Football Giants against the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday Night Football. Not only do they get shut out by Philadelphia 27-0, they also lose probably their second most important player after Eli Manning, Victor Cruz, to a season-ending knee injury, a patella tendon tear. No details on the severity or if there's any other damage in the knee. He spent overnight in a Philadelphia hospital. I would imagine he's going to transfer up to New York. He'll probably have the surgery at HSS, the hospital for special surgery, over the next week or so. But again, we'll have more details on his medical condition as the week goes along. But Lance, it was a week where we went into the game saying if the Giants played well, they had a chance to be in a three-way tie for first place at the end of the week. Instead, they are now two games behind both Dallas and Philly. They're missing their best receiver, who was part of a receiver core that was an issue all year long in terms of making plays and getting open with Victor Cruz. They threw up a zero in Philly, and now the rest of the season is certainly going to be a struggle without their biggest playmaker.
The narrative of this team has changed dramatically in the wake of yesterday's game. You lose Victor Cruz, who's been such an integral part of this offense. Now it's all about the next man stepping up. But you know, before we start to analyze, John, the status of the receiving core, you know, let's not overlook the fact that this offensive line is coming off by far its worst performance of the season. And it brought back memories, I'm sure, for a lot of Giants fans of what occurred throughout the entirety of 2013. I was actually crunching some numbers after last night's game when we wrapped up the postgame. Through six games last season, the offensive line gave up 16 sacks. And if you remember that week three game against the Carolina Panthers, they surrendered seven alone. Through six games this season, the same Giants offensive line that played stellar football over the last few weeks has all of a sudden surrendered 15 sacks. I mean, that is mind-boggling considering how well this group started to come together, John.
Lance, at bottom line, you hit it on the head. The Giants lost this game yesterday because they lost the battle of the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. You nailed it on the offensive line. And it's not one guy. We can't pinpoint and say this one guy played poorly. Yeah, Justin Pugh played a bad game. Guess what? John Jerry was terrible. Weston Richburg wasn't good. We saw J.D. Walton olay a Malcolm Jenkins blitz right down the middle. And then William Beattie had a huge holding penalty later in the game, and he got beat by Trent Cole a couple of times. So this line, left to right, all five guys struggled. They couldn't protect their quarterback, and they could have had a couple more sacks, by the way, but they called them Eli Manning runs when he tucked the ball and got back to the line of scrimmage. They couldn't block for Andre Williams. He had no room to run the football the entire game. And what Tom Coughlin said to Michelle Tavoy at halftime was right on the money. This isn't Reggie White, Clyde Simmons, and the guys that played for the Eagles in the early 90s here. The Eagles had a mediocre pass rush this year. You know, they have a decent pressure package. They blitz a little bit. But you're not talking about the Seattle Seahawks front four. You're not talking about Justin Smith and Alden Smith coming off the edge for the 49ers. And the Giants got manhandled. And then playing against an Eagles offensive line that has been terrible for 3 weeks. LeSean McCoy had two games where he averaged less than 1.5 yards per carry. 1.5 yards. They're still missing their starting center and their starting guard. They go out there, and they put up 200 yards rushing on the Giants in this game and over 6 yards per carry. So in a game where everyone thought the Giants' advantage was up front, it turned out to be their disadvantage on both sides. If you can't block, you can't win. If you can't stop the run, you can't win. The Giants couldn't do either last night.
They lost the game in the trenches.
Yeah.
That's the best way to summarize what transpired last night. John was just talking about the Eagles' defensive line. They came in tied for 11th in the NFL with 11 sacks. Not overwhelming numbers. A pass rush that was somewhat up and down. And they just absolutely feast on the Giants' offensive line. And as bad as the pass protection was, John, the penalties was really an absolute killer. 10 penalties for 74 yards yesterday, 7 of which came against the offensive line. Here's some of the penalties against the offensive line. John Jerry had 3 penalties. He had a holding penalty. Then you have a delay of game against the team. Richburg, unnecessary roughness. Richburg must have been watching Monday Night Raw because I don't know what he was thinking.
I don't know what that was.
After throwing down his defensive lineman, he hit him again.
That was the old King Kong Bundy splash off the side rope.
Bam Bam Bigelow,
name it.
Jimmy Superfly Snuka. I mean, I know we're making light of something,
but that
was an unnecessary maneuver on the part of a young rookie. Then you have Jerry with a false start, Pugh with a holding, Beattie with a holding that cancels out a touchdown that Larry Donnell had.
Great catch, by the way.
Great catch, acrobatic. And Jerry with a false start, And that wrapped up all of the offensive line penalties. But 7 of the 10 went against the O-line.
Well, to give you a feel for how little of a chance Eli Manning actually had in this game to succeed. And Eli, by the way, considering the protection, the fact he didn't lose a fumble or throw a pick is frankly a minor miracle. And give him credit for that. He did fumble once. The Giants recovered it.
Nassib
fumbled once later in the game. The Giants recovered
it, yeah,
that as well. But here's a couple examples, all right? Giants' first drive on a 3rd-and-1. He gets sacked minus 7 yards, all right? And that short-circuited the first drive. The second Giants possession is where it gets really bad. On 2nd-and-10, after a no-gain run by Andre Williams, the Giants had already gotten 2 first downs in this drive on passes to Reuben Randle and Odell Beckham Jr. Manning gets sacked for minus 9 yards. So you're 3rd-and-19. They actually convert the 3rd-and-19 to Daniel Fells over the middle. Then 1st-and-10, offensive holding, 9-yard penalty, worse than 19. Delay of game. 1st-and-24, Eli sacked, minus 2 yards. You're in 2nd-and-26. You actually get an offsides penalty, makes it 2nd-and-21. The next play, Connor Barwin gets another sack. You're looking at 3rd-and-25, and then you have a false start. You're looking at 4th-and-30. I mean, you can't win playing football that way. And you go to a later drive. You have John Jerry, false start, 1st-and-15. Pew holding penalty, 1st-and-25, 2nd-and-19, 3rd-and-21. You can't score points or even get first downs shooting yourself in the foot that way. You can't.
That drive you were alluding to, the one prior, they had 3 sacks that they gave up in the span of 4 plays. Not giving Eli Manning time.
And there were 2 penalties in there, too, by the way.
Correct. So that's why it was 3 sacks in the span of 4 plays, because 2 of the plays in between didn't even count because they were wiped out due to penalties.
It was a mess.
These were the 3rd downs, John, that the Giants faced in the first half alone. The Giants, by the way, 2 of 13 on 3rd down, and they have been pretty good on 3rd down leading into
and
this
why
game.
Are these numbers you're about to list?
Well, this was the first half where they were 1 for 7 on 3rd down. They had a 3rd-and-1. By the way, they got sacked on a 3rd-and-1. Don't ask me why they were looking to throw. That was early in the game. I can't really
there
make sense
of that.
There
were a couple short yardage times where they were throwing when they probably shouldn't the last
Correct.
Couple of games.
After that 3rd-and-1, which they couldn't convert in the first half, 3rd-and-19,
yeah.
3rd-and-25, 3rd-and-10, 3rd-and-20, 3rd-and-10, 3rd-and-21. Is it a surprise they go 1 for 7 in the first half?
All right, and I want to hit on a couple more things, and we'll get to your calls. I'm sure there's a lot of Giant fans out there, and you're going to want to get in. We get to as many as we can today, all right? We're going to try to go through the calls a little bit quick so we can get as many people on as possible. I'm going to try to short-circuit a couple things here before we get to them on the phones. Number one, I want to make this larger point. The NFL now, Lance, is such a week-to-week league. Honestly, what happens the prior week, the prior 2 weeks, even the prior 3 weeks, doesn't mean a whole lot. We drove back with Paul Dottino last night, and we had a conversation in the car. I know. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Not a problem.
The thing he was so upset about, and it was more confusing to me, but it annoyed him. He goes, John, I spend all this time, all these hours, looking at numbers, looking at tape, looking at stats. And look, he does. He works hard at this. And he goes, there is nothing I saw in all those hours of preparation I did for this game, and I agreed with him, that could have prepared me or made me think that the Giants would have lost this game the way they lost it. The way the offensive line had played the last 3 or 4 weeks since that first game against the Lions, there was nothing that would have made you think they would put up a zero performance like they did last night. There was nothing that would make you think that after LeSean McCoy averaged 2.9 yards per carry for 5 weeks, and the Giants have stopped very good running backs over the past few weeks and held them to under 4 yards per pop, would come out in this game and run for 140 yards. There was nothing that would make you think those things would happen. And this is to a point that we made to the callers last week. When everybody called in, and we're very excited, and I understand fans get excited. Giants are going to win the division. They're head and shoulders better than Eagles. They're head and shoulders better than Dallas. And we tried to stress to try to be a little bit level. The Giants aren't as bad as they were against the Lions, and they're certainly not as bad as they were last night. But they're also probably not quite as good as 3 straight wins in between those bad losses. So there's a balance here. But here's the issue with me, Lance. I still don't know what this Giant team is. I would like for once this whole year to see the Giants at relatively full strength and no injuries, which now is not going to be the case for the rest of the year because of Victor Cruz, play another team at full strength with relatively few injuries, have both teams play well, and then actually see which team is better. Because we haven't gotten one of those games yet this year. The closest thing was the Falcons last week, but their offensive line was in shambles. So I still don't know what this Giants team is. Would it shock me if the Giants come in and either win in Dallas next week or play them to within a field goal? No, it wouldn't shock me at all. And the Cowboys went into Seattle and won yesterday. It's a week-to-week league here, folks. You can't get too excited or too down off of one good or bad.
You can't have those knee-jerk reactions. No. That's what you can't do. Identity of this team. You hit it right on the nose, John. You look at the scores this season. They've either won on one extreme or they've won on another extreme or they've lost. Look at the scores.
It's double digits or more in every game.
Correct. They have not had one close game.
10 is the closest, the Falcons game.
Not one highly contested game.
And by the way, that game went from down 10 to up 10. So they were inconsistent within that one game that was their actual closest performance.
So that's why it's very hard to put your finger on the pulse of this team.
It's impossible.
I mean, it's impossible. You know, they really haven't gotten into a game where, okay, maybe they're not going to win, but they're at least in it, and they lose by a field goal or something like that. They either dominate their opponent or they get dominated. You can't play that type of a script out throughout the course of the season. Eventually, you have to show something in the middle where, hey, you can be competitive, you can make mistakes, but also you're not going to just be completely outplayed by the opponent.
Some other house cleaning I want to do. Tremaine McBride, according to reports yesterday, again, we'll see if it's true. I'm sure the Giants will release the information next couple of days. Did dislocate his thumb. We'll see what the Giants say about that over the next couple of days. Could be out a couple of weeks. You know, you could cast it and try to play with it, but then how are you going to pick balls off? How are you going to tackle? It's a very difficult thing to play with for anybody. John Beeson back from injury last night, Lance. Very quiet. Didn't really play that well from what I could tell. I haven't looked at the tape yet, but didn't really make a whole lot of plays. And then Dominic Rogers-Cromartie had to leave that game with an injured back. And remember, that back sometimes can get connected to the hamstring. They have the muscles back there, so I wonder if the back spasms, which is basically muscle cramps in your back, you know, and you know, sometimes it can be a nerve issue with, you know, the disc and stuff like that, can get connected to the hamstring. So I wonder if there's some type of connection there, but we'll keep an eye on DRC this week to see whether or not he can play against Dallas. And if McBride is out, they're going to need Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, because we saw Dallas attack Richard Sherman this week, and they're certainly not going to be afraid to go after whoever the Giants put out there at cornerback. So those are some injuries you should keep an eye on during
the week. You just wonder how effective DRC is going to be if he has to constantly go in and out of the lineup. Zach Bowman would be the next man up, and then Jayron Hosley already saw time in the slot. Now
maybe
he's back on the active
and maybe roster. Chandler Fenner will be activated off the practice squad again. I mean, you mentioned DRC, and I was surprised to see this. Zach Ertz ran away from him on that one touchdown. That was Dominic Rogers-Cromartie that was covering Zach Ertz on that one post corner into the end zone for the touchdown. And, you know, we almost saw Dominic Rogers-Cromartie catch a player, Antoine Smith, from behind last week after getting blocked. And I didn't see that same speed in that coverage against Ertz. Now, Ertz is a good player. I'm not saying he's not. He's fast for a tight end. But Ertz did run away from him.
Well, and Quinton Demps was caught out of coverage on the James Casey touchdown, the second touchdown for the Eagles. He's their backup tight end.
Got him on the play action.
Yep. I mean, untouched into the end zone.
Well, Demps stepped up, thought it was a run, and then he just didn't follow James Casey.
I mean, he was like
wide
Julius
open.
Thomas saying too easy because they didn't challenge him at all. One other injury note, and obviously we mentioned off the top Victor Cruz, and I'm sure we're going to get a lot of phone calls. I just think it's necessary that we address this now. A lot of people I'm sure are going to call up. John and I have already gotten a boatload of tweets about Corey Washington. First of all, Preston Parker is ahead on the depth chart from Corey Washington, and that's why we've seen more of him. If they go to three wideout sets, John, it's going to be Beckham, it's going to be Randall, it's going to be Parker.
And we said that in the preseason,
Washington.
Too.
Correct. So I understand a lot of people are anxious to see Corey Washington, and you may say, oh, he could be a savior. Expect to see more of Preston Parker before Washington all of a sudden expands his reps.
I got to imagine when the Giants come out with their three wide receiver set next week, it's going to be Randall and Beckham outside, and Parker's going to be your slot guy.
Yeah.
That would be my anticipation. But you know what? The Giants use a lot of four wide receiver sets, and I would not be surprised if you see Corey Washington get anywhere from 5 to 12 snaps maybe.
Or a red zone play here or there, depending on what the situation is.
They'll use them in periods. And one of the things I want to bring up, too, which I don't think got a lot of play yesterday, I saw Daniel Fells play a lot more yesterday than I've seen him play this year. And he was in there for Larry Donnell. And I think that goes to what we've mentioned over the course of the year. While Donnell has made some great catches, made another one last night, they got called back because of the penalty, he's not a good blocker. And we saw that last night. You know, they tried to run off the edge with Andre Williams, and Donnell missed block after block after block. And Fells is a better blocker, and he might not be the athlete or the receiver Donnell is, but he's solid. You saw him catch that nice, you know, 20-yard pass over the middle for that nice seam route for the first down of the 3rd and 19. And I think you're starting to see some of the warts on Larry Donnell, and maybe you just noticed the good stuff in weeks 3 and 4 this year.
And you can't expect the offensive line to make up for the issues with the tight end, so you need to get that strong blocker in. And
without Jennings there, too, to pass protect, one of the best pass protecting backs in the league.
No, that's a great point. Andre Williams doesn't have nearly as much experience as Rashad Jennings, so you combine that with Larry Donnell, you get exposed as a result.
One thing I noticed, too, I thought the Eagles were much freer to not worry about the running back catching the ball out of the backfield when Andre Williams was in the game as compared to when Rashad Jennings was a Giants running back. So I don't think Williams hurt them in terms of being a runner. I don't think there was a lot of room. I don't think Jennings would have done much better. But I do think not having that additional weapon as a receiver out of the backfield in Jennings, I think that did hurt the Giants a little bit offensively, because when you bring the pass pressure, we've seen it. When the Giants blitz, how did teams kill them? By those little dump-off passes to the running backs.
At the same time, though, I think the Giants can't shy away from giving Andre Williams some of those opportunities.
I agree.
Just because he's not the strongest receiver. Hey, he had two catches against the Falcons. You at least need to throw him in the mix there. And that's something that I think they're going to have to open up to, because, you know, Jennings could very well miss this Cowboys game, and they're probably going to sit him out through the bye. And you're not necessarily just going to throw in Peyton Hillis just because you feel good about Peyton Hillis. You still want Andre Williams to be your workhorse. I mean, he did run over Malcolm Jenkins. He's got talent here. He's a young guy, but he has upside.
And I just want to update one more time, if you missed us off the top of the show, we did address the Victor Cruz situation. He is going to be out for the year. He is a torn patella tendon. You don't know the severity of it. There are partial tears. There are complete tears. There are ruptures. There's a million different things. I'm sure they haven't done MRIs yet. The MRI might show more damage, less damage, maybe something else with the patella. All those reports are not done yet. I'm not even sure if he's had an MRI yet. I'm sure he got one last night at the hospital, but certainly no results have been released yet. Bottom line, out for the year. Most patellas, talking to people that I know, you know, can be 4 to 6 month recovery period. So you would hope he could be back in time for the preseason next year and for training camp. But again, until you get the MRI back, until you go in there and you fix it, you don't really know what kind of damage there is. So certainly a very big blow for the Giants. Victor Cruz is out for the year. And now Ruben Randle is going to have to live up to his second-round billing. Odell Beckham is going to have to live up to his first-round billing. And you're going to have to get something out of Preston Parker and Corey Washington as you move forward here for the New York Football Giants. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. That's how you contact us. It's your calls and tweets the rest of the way. Let's start it off with Drew in Virginia. He has been holding the longest. Drew, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys. Man, tough game, man. Too bad for Victor, man.
Speechless.
I saw the play. And, I mean, it was, you knew something was up, man, the minute you saw it. You just kind of knew.
Well, Drew, especially, I can tell you, people on the sideline told me they had never heard somebody scream out in that sort of excruciating pain like they heard Victor after the play. And you saw him crying on TV. It's as serious of an injury as you can have in the knee if it's not a torn ACL and, you know, multiple ligaments. So it's really sad. Our heart goes out to him. He's a good player, better guy. And, you know, for a guy to come from where he came from, undrafted guy, and play the way he has in the league, it's sad. It really is.
Yeah, it is, man. And the thing of it is you're right. I knew it was really serious, is when you saw him breaking down on the side, down like that.
An emotional scene.
Right, then it really hit you, man. With that, man, I it was just hard. And to be honest, man, after he got hurt, man, I'll tell you right now, I turned the game off. You know, I mean, we brought absolutely nothing. I will say this, man. This defense, man, is overrated. I'm gonna tell you that right now. This defense is overrated, and I say that also, man, because, you know, we've been giving up big plays all year. I don't know that we gave up big plays. But again, I pretty much just quit watching the game. But I will tell you this, though. One thing I did notice, we can't tackle. This team has a serious problem. Talking about this defense, has a serious problem with tackling. We cannot tackle. I saw people in the backfield, you know, getting missed. You know, the Giants was missing tackles in the backfield.
They did.
It looks like they're going after these players' feet as opposed to trying to hit these guys up.
Now, Drew, I'll say this.
The bottom line is we can't. Excuse me?
Yeah, Jay, real quick, let me just say this. I don't think the Giants' defense is as bad as it showed yesterday. I think that was a bit of an aberration. But I will agree with you. You're right. There are too many situations here where guys are not in the right place. Guys are getting isolated in one-on-one coverage. Guys are making mental mistakes. They're not executing. I mean, even the on-chart role play where he got the interception, if he catches that ball cleanly, there's a chance he might run that in for a touchdown. But that momentary bobble, cost him a second or two. He got caught from behind. So, look, this Giants defense I don't think is playing to their potential. They need to get better. The pass rush was non-existent yesterday when they didn't bring pressure. Nick Foles was sipping a tea out of a glass back there. Yeah. I mean, it was not a pretty sight for the defense, but I do think they are a little bit better than what they showed yesterday.
I don't, I'll say this, okay? I don't think this team is as bad as they were yesterday, okay, because that was just a horrendous game. I don't think the team is as bad as they were yesterday, but I do agree with you. The team isn't as good as we made them out to be. I think too many of us, and I'll throw me in there too, was drinking the Kool-Aid, and this team got exposed. They're not that good. I don't think they're as bad as they was a 27-0 loss last night. But they aren't that good. The other thing I'm going to say, because I know you got to go, is I do believe Philly heard all of the cries from New York. Well, not the cries, all of the talk from New York about how bad that defense was. And the bottom line is they stood up. The other thing is our offensive line got beat time and time and time again, as you noted, from the edge. So, I mean, really, man, there's really nothing else to say. As you said, man, it is what it is. We got thoroughly embarrassed. I mean, and I'm going to say this. You knew it was going to be bad when Tom Coughlin, and Tom Coughlin is very good at those challenges.
You knew it was
going to be bad when Tom Coughlin took a challenge that he should not have taken and lost. I mean, you could clearly see it wasn't a fumble. And he took that challenge. And right from there, I kind of had the sinking feeling that, man, we're in trouble.
All right, thanks,
and
Drew.
Bam.
Appreciate the call, my friend. And he's right. And Tom Coughlin's usually great at those challenges. And I think he was afraid the Eagles in their no huddle was going to snap the ball and he was going to lose his chance. My guess is that he challenges one of those, well, we're not sure. It could be a momentum-changing play. Let's roll the dice and throw the flag. Because once you saw the replay, I mean, everyone could tell that he was down by contact. His whole forearm and elbow.
He was tripped up, and then his arm hit the ground.
Had hit the turf. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, that was – I don't think anybody played well yesterday. The coaches didn't coach well. The players didn't play well. When you get embarrassed the way they did last night, that's blame from top to bottom. Everyone gets a hit on that one.
Well, speaking of McCoy, which we were just talking about regarding that penalty or the challenge, I should say, and Drew was mentioning how there were a lot of missed tackles. I mean, there were times where they could have brought McCoy down, John, in the backfield, and he was just shimmying in and out of traffic.
That's also why he's with Sean McCoy.
Of course. I mean, that's his M.O., but still, year after year,
got to tackle.
The same things happen again. If you're within the vicinity of him, you need to bring him down because then he's going to turn what should have been a negative one pickup into a 5 or 6 yard gain. And that happened at least two or three times on the first drive for the Eagles where he was able to pick one first down after another up. And as a result, the Eagles were able to cash in where you could have maybe potentially forced them to punt and the momentum all of a sudden shifts into your neck of the woods. So that was a big letdown for the Giants defense, the fact that they just were not able to take down LeSean McCoy or Darren Sproles either. I mean, it wasn't so much the receivers that killed the Giants so much. I know the tight ends had a field day, but to me it was McCoy setting the tone early. And he's had games where he's been very slow out of the gates, and he has not been able to get into rhythm. The Giants allowed him to get into rhythm, and that's a security blanket for Nick Foles because Nick Foles was not put in a position yesterday where he had to throw 45 times. Why? Because he knew, hey, McCoy's getting it going. I'll just play game manager.
Though, by the way, let me say this. If I'm an Eagles fan, Nick Foles still scares me. When Nick Foles gets a guy in his face, and the Giants didn't do it often, but when they did, he will put that ball up for grabs.
He doesn't shy away.
He will throw it off his back foot. He will throw it sidearm. He will flip it up there. And look, all young quarterbacks do that when they face pressure. And I'm sure he'll get better and he'll learn from it. But Nick Foles really tried a couple times to throw the ball right to Giant defenders to give him interceptions. He really did.
And they wound up capitalizing. They got two picks.
They did.
Giants just weren't able to
but
score anything.
They could have got a couple more, I think, and they could have capitalized a little bit more on defense. 201-939-4513. Back to the phones. Let's go to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, you're up next.
Hey, what's up, guys? I got
my
dad here. See, we're not fair weather fans, like we'll call good and bad.
Okay.
But hopefully, when we get him at home, we'll call and we'll get a win at home and we'll be more used to the tricky offense that they run. But I would have liked to see Hillis in there because he's good with pass protection. He's good catching passes out of the backfield. He brings a spark.
Hillis
but
played
I don't
a
think
bunch of snaps.
Would have helped.
I mean, Hillis was in there for a bunch of snaps in that game. He was in there a lot, but he probably played around 20, 30 snaps, I'd
especially
say.
Late in the game. Yeah. I mean, they didn't even bother running Williams at the end.
It was also, like you said, the offensive line. was the key. It didn't really matter who the running back was.
If you can't block, you can't win, Andrew. If you can't block, you can't win.
And my wife said it best when one of the sacks, the many sacks, she's like, it was the fat guy. He missed his block. Fire him.
Well, but, there were a lot of fat guys missing blocks last night, let me tell you.
Indeed, yeah.
The speaking of the, as Ray Lucas, commentator, calls them, the big fatties, like, there was a good play that Will Beatty got called for a foul, a penalty, and that's the play that would have been the touchdown to the tight end.
Yeah.
And if they, it was no way was it a hold. It
oh, Andrew, he tackled him around the neck. That was a hold?
It looked like, to me, he stiff-armed, like punched him to the ground. So it didn't look like a hold, and Roman Oben said it was questionable, too, in the postgame. But that would have been a touchdown, and then Cruz never would have been injured.
Let's not go that far. Who knows what led to that injury, Andrew? I mean, we're not doctors here. He could have aggravated earlier the game. He could have been the wear and tear over the last few years.
Who knows? I mean, you
can't blame that on Larry Dinell and the penalty as to why Victor Cruz got hurt.
Right. It just seemed like a bad penalty. But the wide receivers, don't worry, John. We have Ramsey's. We'll re-sign him. Cruz is injured, but I think next year he'll be recovered. He has almost a year to go till next season. And I think all the wideouts are good that are on the roster. And I can't wait till they play him again in MetLife Stadium, and I'll put Andrew Sr. on.
Oh, we get the double dose today. We like it. What do you got, Andrew Sr.?
Good morning. I should say good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I haven't spoken to you in a while. Listen, first of all, I think they got a new defensive coach. First of all, their best player was teamed up with Peterson, and Peterson would get help from a tight end at times, and that completely negated
Peters.
Right?
Yes.
Until the second half when they switched him around. But we have two tackles that are, one should be a guard and the other one should be discarded. That's my opinion. Pugh is definitely not a tackle. He's a guard. In the interior where he's got, where there's not much room, he can handle anybody. But on the outside, he's just a slow-footed white man.
He was playing well up until this game, though. Pugh was having a pretty good year.
He had, what's his name, beat him, number 99 from Houston beat him.
Yeah, that was once. That was at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
That's J.J.
Watt. He didn't touch Eli Manning the rest of the contest.
I know. He didn't play there. He played more in the center, if you remember.
Well, they do move him around. And listen, Andrew, appreciate the phone
call.
Thanks so much for weighing in.
And by the way, the fact that he's a white guy doesn't matter either.
Yeah.
I should point that out.
Well, you know, once again, I think we're getting to the overreaction of Justin Pugh, John,
right,
because everybody was complimentary of him early in the season last year in his rookie campaign. He struggled early. And then he had a stretch where something clicked, something registered. He played solid football. This year he came in. He's been solid for the first few games, and this was the backbreaker game. But does this mean that all of a sudden Justin Pugh can't be a tackle in the NFL? I wouldn't go that far. Now, I think everybody's saying, oh, he's got one bad game. It reminds me of what Will Beatty did against the Carolina Panthers. This is a no-no, and he's not going to be able to recover. I think you need to give him the benefit of the doubt. Has he been a consistent tackle throughout the course of his career? No, I wouldn't go that far, but it's a young career.
I mean, the sample size is so small. I mean, everybody relax, please.
You know, let's see more out of Justin Pugh before everybody gets the pitchforks out and says, let's move him to guard and bring in a different tackle.
Right, and I don't think, you know, this offensive line has been so good, which is why this game really, I mean, it's a confusing game. I mean, a team that had played well on the offensive line and stopped the run all year fell apart on both sides of the ball against an Eagles team that hadn't done either well, stop the run, get after the quarterback, or run the football. It was really one of those bizarro games. Hey, Joe, do me a favor. I want to play the Justin Pugh audio from yesterday. Bring up my computer on the board, Joe. Bring up the computer. I'm just going to play this off Giants.com. Justin Pugh after the game. I thought his quotes were very telling. He took blame for exactly what happened.
He owned it.
And he talked about the loss. So let's hear from Justin Pugh, really a stand-up guy after the game last night. And Giants.com's not cool.
He's a man of very few words, apparently.
Now, we'll get this up here. Hold on. Let's see. There we go. Let's see.
Well, I could tell you the quote he mentioned.
Well,
since we're
go ahead,
the audience.
I'm sorry.
He basically said it was the worst game I've ever played, hands down, end quote.
Right.
I mean, that's the money
mm-hmm.
quote.
Yeah.
He owned it. He owned
yeah.
his performance.
Said, I got to get better. I was the reason we lost. You can't start a game that way. I played as poorly as you can play, and I have to play better. He was excellent. Excellent.
And nobody's going to argue.
Yep, no question about it. 201.
Did not play very well.
939-4513. Let's go back to the phone and say what's up to Nana down in Georgia. Nana, good afternoon.
Hello, guys.
How are you doing, Nana?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Doing great,
well.
Nana.
What's on your mind?
I want to first start off by saying, you know, I really feel bad for the injury that Victor Cruz suffered last night.
Yep.
You know, it was very heartbreaking, you know, to see him break down like that and, you know, hurt. You know, I just want to give my, you know, send my prayers out to him. And, you know, I wish him a speedy recovery.
So do we
all.
And,
you know, I want to send him a lot of positive energy, you know.
No question.
Okay. I was very embarrassed as a Giants fan, you know, watching that game last night. It was very embarrassing. I mean, my thing is this. It would take my team to come in Philly and let this team get the spark that it needs. Because before we came in there, they was unable to get their running game going. Their defense was struggling. You know, their offense, they could barely score. You know what I'm saying? They was doing most of their scoring on special teams and, you know, the block punts and all of that, you know. But, you know, we just made them look like the second coming of the Seahawks from last year. You know, and to me, that just was very embarrassing. I don't understand what happened. I saw Justin Pugh get worked all over the place. I mean, it was good he took, you know, responsibility because he couldn't deny it. You know, I mean, you could see it, you know. And Will Beatty got beat up too. He's not exempt from this.
Well, the whole offensive line got beat up. I mean, I don't think we need to individualize anybody in particular, Nana. I think you could just say the whole O-line as a group struggled, period.
Finish up, Nana. What else you got?
You know, and, you know, to see Eli, you know, to me, we were fortunate that he didn't get injured because it was throwing him all over the place. You know, early in the first half, he sacked, what, 4 or 5 times? You know, I just feel like we got to do better because this schedule doesn't get any easier.
No question.
And it's a very tough stretch.
It looks like we lost Nana. Yep, there we go.
They got Dallas, and then after the bye, Indy, San Francisco, and Seattle. It's a very difficult stretch.
Dallas again,
yeah.
By the way. So 201-939-4513. Let's stick on the phones as we try to get as many guys as we can over the course of the next half an hour. We take you to 1. Victor in Texas. Victor, you're up next.
Oh, hey, guys. How you guys doing?
It's been a long time, Victor.
What's happening?
Yeah, it has been a long time. I see you guys, you know, you're expanding. I'm watching you guys on Giants.com.
Appreciate
it. You guys are doing big things. It's exactly what I wanted you guys to have, too. Hey, but first, before I get into it, I got to give a shout-out to @TeamVic. Terrible injury. You know, I hope he recovers from this. I hope he comes back 100%. But just in true fashion, just the way in the military, man, the Army goes rolling along. Next man up, you got to come up and, you know, you got to fill that roster spot. Now, let's get back into this debacle of the game last night. We got shellacked on both sides of the ball. I'm watching this offensive line, and, guys, you got to help me understand, what in the hell are we doing during the week to prepare for this team? We know, one, Chip Kelly is going to run an up-tempo offense. And moving people around, why would you put Justin Pugh out there on the end when you know he doesn't deal with quickness well, right?
I mean, look, Victor, I don't think that's fair, though. Pugh has played well this year. To say he doesn't deal well with quickness, I'm not sure that's fair. And frankly, I know a lot of people were tweeting me last night talking about game planning. You know, Fuel did this, McAdoo did this, blah, 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 blah. I think the players, especially up front, just got whipped yesterday. They got whipped. The offensive line got whipped. The defensive line couldn't tackle LeSean McCoy. That's got nothing to do with coaching. If your offensive lineman can't stay in front of anybody, how are you supposed to win?
John, I totally agree with you. I think everybody needs to accept this loss. They need to look at the tape. Everyone, coaches, players, everyone needs to look at this and learn from it. Then burn the tape.
Right.
But they did nothing from a football standpoint at all yesterday against a team whose cornerbacks are decimated. We should have been able to do that, but just like you said, he didn't have enough time to actually throw a pass.
Well, that's why they couldn't capitalize on a questionable secondary. I would agree with you, Vic. I mean, you look at Kerry Williams, you look at Fletcher, they've been beat all season long. Brandon Boykin, their slot corner, is their best guy, their best cover guy. But if Eli doesn't have time, we could sit here all day and talk about the weaknesses of the Eagles. Makes no difference.
Definitely. I definitely understand. I'm just going over the facts of the game.
Right.
The defensive line. Looking at the offensive line, wasn't that the question that the Philadelphia Eagles had coming into the game with their offensive line?
No question.
They pretty much, they were opening up massive gates of tunnels for these guys to run in. And my whole thing was that the Giants had to tackle in space well. We did not tackle in space well at all. I mean, I just saw missed tackles after missed tackles. I saw Shady doing this. I saw, Sproles. And I knew it was going to be a issue because we don't deal well with our guys in space, playing speedy running backs in space. I just think that, from being a diehard Giants fan, it is so frustrating to me to see that we came out and we were not even competitive, not even to the point where we actually showed the Eagles that we could actually hang with them. It was nothing. We showed nothing. And you know what? I mean, to quote Top Gun, I mean, you guys saw that movie, right?
Of course.
And I'll just end it with that. Tom Cruise, he tells the tower, "Hey, tower, can I do a flyby?" And he says, "No, Ghost Rider, the pattern is full." And he goes by and he does it again. And the guy gets so pissed that he says, "You want some butts? I want some butts right now. I need somebody to come out and atone for this. They got to come out and just say, hey, we did not prepare. We didn't do this." And I want to hear what Tom Coughlin has to say about this, because week to week, I don't know what my Giants team is going to look like. And it's so frustrating to me that I can't see what my team is going to be in the future, or basically week to week. It's just so frustrating, guys. And I mean, tell me, what is it that, as a fan, I can hold my head on after this game, into the next game against Dallas, who showed up and destroyed, in my opinion, they physically manhandled the defending Super Bowl champion.
Victor, I got nothing for you. I mean, I wish I had an answer. If obviously, I have no clue what Giants team is going to show up, because I was on this show 5 times last week, and I would have never predicted what happened last night. And I think that's the problem, and it's really been the problem with this team for the last few years. It's consistency. They haven't been able to establish an identity. What can this team go out and do well every week? I don't know what that is. And, Victor, thanks a lot for the call. Great to hear from you. I appreciate it. And that's, I think, the problem. We thought we saw it developing. Power running game, short passing game, stop the run on defense. But that all fell apart yesterday. They didn't do a whole lot of short passes. They seemed to try to get down the field a lot more than usual. If you have a hit on McAdoo, I think that's probably a fair one. They didn't do as much short stuff as they have the last couple weeks to get the offense into a rhythm. But, Lance, what does this team do well every week? We thought we saw it for 3 weeks, and then everything just fell apart last night.
Well, they can only do things well if the offensive line comes to play.
Right.
I mean, if the offensive line is consistent, and I still think, everybody's overreacting based on this performance. I'm going to say right now it's an anomaly. I don't think this is a sign of what's yet to come. Last season, I understand one bad game led to another. I'm not at that point where I think this is now a complete breakdown. I'm going to chalk this one up. I want to see how this offensive line performs against Dallas, and then we can start to gauge, okay, were they teasing us during that 3-game winning streak, or are there actually some fundamental issues with this group as a whole? I'm not at that point right now.
201-939-4513, and we'll see how they perform against Dallas
on
Sunday.
The other thing, real quickly, I wanted to throw out, and Victor touched on this in a few other calls, I think even Drew, the frustrating part about the defensive pass rush yesterday, and even with respect to the Eagles' pass rush, the Eagles were bringing 3 and 4 guys, John.
They were not blitzing.
That's
well, a couple of times they did. The Jenkins came in the one play.
But it was very rare, though.
A lot of 4-man rushes getting home very quickly.
The Giants couldn't get to the quarterback, but the Eagles could with a 3 and a 4-man rush. And when you want to start to blame the Giants, well, they didn't scheme well for the Eagles' pass rush. The Eagles weren't bringing a pass rush. 5 guys couldn't block 3 or 4 guys. That's troubling. That's a scratch-your-head type of moment.
No question.
I mean, how do you explain that? What do you want Tom Coughlin and company to do? What can Pat Flaherty do? There's five guys. They bring four to the table. Block, period. I mean, that is the simple fundamentals of football here.
If you can't do that, you can't win. Can't win.
Can't add anything else to that.
That's how the Giants won Super Bowls, because they were able to beat five guys with four. And as an offensive line, you got to be able to protect your quarterback to make plays. 201-939-4513, and run the ball for that matter. Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, you're up next, buddy.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing all right, Len. I'm sure you're having a rotten day.
I am not in a good mood, so I want to apologize right from the start.
That's okay. Go ahead.
You know, a couple of people alluded – well, you know, a couple of things I mentioned on Friday when we talked that I was concerned about. One, that the Eagles use 53 yards of the field. You know, they're not a – it's a good passing game. It's not great, but it's not terribly vertical. A lot of sideline play, and as two or three callers alluded to already, if you're a defense and you're going to play 53 yards – You got to be able to tackle.
Yeah, and Len, you know what? Another thing, too, what the Eagles love to do, and I noticed this yesterday watching the game, they love to bring either their tight ends or wide receivers all the way across the length of the field. And it's impossible for a corner or safety, I don't care how good you are, to follow a player for 50 yards across the length of the field. And the fact that the Giants couldn't get to Foles to disrupt him,
yep,
and they let those long patterns develop, you just can't stop them if you let them sit back there and let those long cross-field patterns happen. It's never going to work.
There was some defensive calls by the Eagles yesterday. They won't call again all season. We were very confused at the start, and I think that had to do with Bill Davis. I mentioned that on Friday, too. The Eagles are going to show us looks they haven't shown all season and likely not to show again. Particularly in the first half.
In fairness, Len, and I think you bring up a great point in terms of Bill Davis, but that to me is a common trend across the NFL landscape. There are a lot of teams that game plan for a specific opponent, and they will dig deep into their playbook to showcase things which they think will work just against that opponent. So that certainly could have been the case, but I don't think it's out of the norm what the Eagles perhaps did than what we see across the NFL landscape.
And there was some basic stuff, Len, that the Giants just didn't block up that they should have. I mean, there are simple twists, simple stunts that you see on game film every day, and the Giants just couldn't block them.
Okay, hey, couple more points.
Yeah.
And I should have started with Victor, and that's, you know, a terrible injury, and you know, God bless. I hope we've heard the worst, you know, about Victor here, and it isn't anything beyond what we've heard. And you know, I know his family was with him, but I'm just curious about one thing. There's somebody. He's probably not back in East Rutherford yet, although you alluded, you didn't think he was. Does somebody stay with him? Is somebody from the team stay with him, guys?
I'm sure there's a trainer there with him, somebody from the medical staff. I know he spent the night in the hospital in Philly. I don't know when he was scheduled to come back today, but I'm sure there's somebody from the organizational training or medical staff that's with him. I'd be shocked if they weren't.
Because keep in mind, the team doctor is going to do the procedure.
You know,
maybe
Victor can relate to this because he mentioned, you know, the Army and next man up and so forth. And, you know, I'm sorry he doesn't call more often.
No,
he's really a pretty good caller. Yeah. It's got to be tough to climb on a bus and leave a guy behind. God.
That's a good point.
I just can't imagine it. I mean, just you almost, God, let's wait till he can get on the bus with us. That's just that had to be tough. You know, especially a captain. You know, one last thing.
Yeah, real quick.
You know, you guys right at the start of the show, and even Chris Collinsworth at the end of the broadcast last night. You know, Collinsworth said, how do you explain this?
You can't.
I mean, how do you explain? How about this? And I want to see if you guys can confirm this. Did Antrell Roll, who's a terrific player, by the way, did Antrell Roll really say after the game, we didn't show up?
Yes, he did say that. He alluded to that. I don't remember the exact quote, but
he mentioned that you have to show up every week.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah, really fast, Len.
When he makes that comment, why doesn't somebody say to him, why?
No, they did, and he basically said, I don't know.
Oh, come on. This is happening more often than it should. We can go back 3 or 4 years for these blowouts with these guys.
Right,
just don't show up. I mean, come on.
Len, you're right. We agree with you. Thanks, buddy.
All right, Len. Appreciate
the season
phone.
The season starts next week.
Well, in an ideal world, you wish you could have a clean slate heading into next week, Len. But there are six games in the books.
They're 3-3.
Correct. They are
500. So, yeah. You know, you kind of started 0-0.
You 0-0. Lose to Dallas, though, after losing to Philly. We don't want to necessarily start to speculate, but that's not a good situation.
1-2 in the division. You come back with Indy, Seattle, the Colts, the Niners, and then Dallas again. Problems.
I was actually looking at the standings with some of our colleagues here before we went on the air. If the playoffs were to start today, I know you're going to make a joke, so why don't you just throw it in? Wow. You're dying to say something.
No, go ahead.
We'll get back to the series.
Ahead. It's fine.
No, if the playoffs were to start today, the Niners and the Seahawks would not be in the postseason.
I know.
So
pretty
that
amazing,
just
huh?
goes to show you how deep and competitive the NFC is. And you have to take care of business, obviously, within your division. The goal is to win the division. But if you even want to start to speculate about the wild card, you know, their margin for error is absolutely minute.
I was impressed that you upgraded the folks here to college.
I know. That was really
that was a
kind
big upgrade on your part.
I can imagine what they call me and refer to me. So.
Yeah, you wouldn't like it.
I know I probably wouldn't like it.
201-939-4513. Will in Virginia. Will, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, John?
What's up, Will?
Yeah, man. First, I want to start off with something positive, man. You know, people are going to think I'm crazy, but I still have a lot of faith in this defense, you know. After, like, the first drive, the Eagles, you know, they're taking it down. They're doing their thing with the high-paced offense. And we get them to go three and out and force them to kick a field goal, you know. So I was pleased with that. So I'm gonna keep my faith in this defense. And, you know, for how bad the offense played, defense was making stops. You know, they made a couple turnovers. And offense was getting flags. Obviously, that's a problem. And, we got to make things happen on offense. You know, all right, second thing, Andre Williams, you know, I don't have faith in that guy, man. Like,
why?
He runs like he wants to get tackled, you know?
He barely had space to maneuver, though, Will. I mean, I think you're really being hard on him. I'm not defending the Giants' performance yesterday, but Williams is better if he has some space to work with, okay? He's shown that. You can't blame that solely on his individual performance. If he doesn't have room to maneuver, very difficult.
Yeah, Will, and look, we're not saying Andre Williams is the same caliber of running back as Rashad Jennings. I think it's a downgrade, and Andre Williams is still getting better. He's still learning. Is he as elusive as some running backs? No, he's more of a downhill type of guy, one move and go type of guy, but he really didn't have a lot of room to run yesterday. There were guys in the backfield the entire game.
I'll give Andre Williams this. He has talent. He can run guys over. He's fast, but there's a difference between players, you know, that play to make the big plays and they just have, like, moments, you know, like wide receivers. Some guys can catch the ball in bounds, but, you know, they're not catching it in traffic, and when you need them, they're not there, you know. Peyton Hillis, I don't know if you guys remember last year when he came in. I lived down here in Washington. I went to the game, and I saw him whenever he went in the game, man, it was like he would provide that spark that we need. And that's what I think Jennings provides, you know. He could do it on his own a little bit.
Like, well, he can shed tacklers. That's what's impressive about Jennings.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said what's impressive about Jennings is he can shed tacklers, and he does that consistently. Williams doesn't have, as John alluded to, that type of elusiveness.
And
he's a different style back.
And that's why Jennings is your number one back, and that's why Williams is the backup.
You're right, but I don't think Williams should be the backup. That's not the point. I think Hillis should be the backup.
Peyton Hillis is less elusive than Andre Williams.
Yeah, but he can run through people. He's a hard runner. That's what I'm saying. Like, it looks like Andre Williams is just running into the tackler and, like, curling up. That's what it looks like to me, honestly.
Did you see Andre Williams run over Malcolm Jenkins on the first run he had for more than 10 yards? That was pretty good.
I did. But then I also saw, like, there's room to the outside. Like, if there's room to the outside, why are you going to run over the guy? That doesn't make sense.
Well, you have to understand, you don't know what the play call is for. You know, keep in mind, the design of the block may be for an interior run, and sometimes the running back has to stick to the scheme because the more runs you have for 2 yards, 3 yards, then eventually things are going to open up for the big run. So keep that in mind, Will. If a running back starts to dance around and do whatever he feels like, that's how the scheme is going to break down, and you're not going to get that big run. It's about patience when it comes to a running game. The more you're patient with the smaller runs, you're eventually going to open things up.
Agree. I have to agree or disagree on that, man.
That's okay. That's fine.
Remember,
hey, we don't have to agree on everything.
I don't know if you remember last year when I think David Wilson fumbled on the first play against the Cowboys.
Correct.
Now, before that, he was running hard. Like, he wanted to make plays happen. After that, and he got benched by Coughlin. He started, you know, he started running like how I see Andre Williams running.
Hey, look,
you know,
look.
Trying to get tapped.
Well, in fairness, if you want to say Williams isn't elusive enough, he didn't make the right cuts and things like that, that's fine. I can't argue with that. That's okay. If that's your opinion, that's fine. But don't say he doesn't run hard. The kid runs hard. He tries. He's out there trying to break tackles, trying to run over people. He's playing hard. He's running hard. You might not don't think he's effective. Maybe he's not as good as you would like, but the kid's running hard out there. Let's be fair.
All right. I'll give him that. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You're right, man. That's all I wanted to get across. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling, Will. Appreciate it.
There was a 3rd and 7 against the Falcons, and Andre Williams picked up 8 yards last week.
And about 4 of them were there after contact.
Correct, and he ran over a guy. So he's had, like, 1 big muscle play each and every week. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's, you know, the greatest running back of all time. But keep in mind, if the offensive line doesn't block, John, how many times did we say this last season? I don't care if you have Walter Payton back there. It's not going to make a damn difference.
No question. 201-939-4513. Steve in D.C. Stevie, you're up next, pal.
Hey, what's happening, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling back, Steve. What's up?
Needless to say, it was a rough night. Of course, you know, the Cowboys winning didn't help my day at all. But I don't know what y'all want, the good, bad, or the ugly. Y'all need the good first. Surprisingly enough, you know, I actually thought Kiwi played a pretty decent game. I thought he was effective pretty much all night. You
Who
know
did?
What I mean? We didn't have an outstanding game, but to my surprise, I thought he was – you know, he was very efficient in what he was doing out there. You know, what do you guys think about that, first of all?
Steve, honestly, the only guy that I could pick out that I thought played okay, I'm not sure I could. There's not a whole lot of guys. I mean, Prince, I didn't see Prince get beat out all out there. So I was picking one guy in defense that I didn't see get beat and play a poor game. I'd say it was Prince. I thought he was okay. I thought Roll did okay. He didn't really miss many tackles. He had the pick. I thought he was pretty good. I honestly didn't notice much from Kiwi from the good side, and I would usually just put everyone into that front seven barrel. You get up 6 yards per carry. I'm not going to give too many people on that front seven too much credit. You know what I mean?
Neither am I. I just thought you guys would get a kick out of that because how hard I've been on Kiwi.
That's fair. That's fair.
You know, let me tell you, I mean, you know, I can't say enough how disappointed I am in Justin Pugh. I thought he got his butt kicked all night long.
And he admitted
that. No excuses.
Yeah.
Yeah, no excuses. I mean, you know, so he needed to do what he needs to do to improve his game. But I was very disappointed in the play call. And I know, first of all, I missed a lot of the show, guys, so forgive me if I repeat what other people said.
That's okay.
But, you know, I think it was Williams had just ran somebody over. It was 3rd and 2, and we decided to pass the ball.
It was a 3rd and 1, actually. You're talking about the first drive of the game. He had an 8-yard run. It was 3rd and 1 from the Giants 42, Steve, and then Eli Manning was sacked for a loss of 7. We alluded to that off the top of the show. I'm like you. I don't understand the play call.
Steve, we are right on the same page with you on that one, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, not only that, but it just put our defense back on the field too fast. I don't understand that call. I mean, I was right then and knew. I knew we were in trouble. I don't know. I didn't even really call the vent today because I feel rather calm if the circumstance was just that bad. But, you know, I think the coaches really need to take a good hard look at themselves as well. Obviously, the players didn't play up to, you know, to their potential. But I really just felt like, you know, unfortunately, the defense was just on the field way too much for them to be effective. So, I think we need to find some different run schemes, and we need to make it happen because I'm not happy with the play calling as far as the runs are concerned. I thought it looked very Gil Bridish to me. Very, very vanilla. I could call every single run as soon as, you know, we ran, whether it was Hillis or whether it was Williams. That disturbs me. I don't know if it's, you know, these guys are not in the right holes because there were no holes. So I don't know. I'm just going to go on before I start babbling on.
All right, Steve.
But I wanted to, before I do that, just give me this. Who are we going to put in the slot to take care of Cruz? And, of course, my heart and prayers go out to Cruz. I hope he, you know, has a full speedy recovery. But I just want to know what you guys, how you see us filling in that spot. And I'll go ahead and listen off air. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks,
and,
Steve.
You got it, Steve.
I wish you a better luck for the rest of the week.
Appreciate it. Preston Parker is going to be the slot guy. We talked about that earlier. That I don't really think there's much question about that as well. I think they like Beckham playing outside at this point, number one. Number two, I find it amusing how people hate the play calling when it doesn't work. You know, I mean, it's the same guy calling plays that have called plays the last 3 weeks and everything's working. But, guys, here's the bottom line. And Lance and I tried to say this last year. Nobody wanted to listen to us. If you can't block up front, you could have Vince Lombardi running your offense and the best offensive minds in football history all on the sideline, calling plays together, scheming during the week. You could bring in the dream team of offensive masterminds, the Mike Shanahans, the Lombardis, Sean Payton, name it. You can bring in any of these guys and have the best offensive system possible. You know what? If you can't block up front, it amounts to a hill of beans. It doesn't mean a damn thing. Because if your quarterback doesn't have the time to make his reads, make his progressions, step into his throws, and your receivers don't have time to get open, you ain't gonna do nothing. You gotta block, and the Giants didn't block anybody for four quarters yesterday against the Eagles.
During the three-game winning streak, Manning completed 70% of his passes. He had a QB rating well over a 100. What was the common theme during the three-game winning streak?
Wasn't getting hit.
There you go. Why did that not happen last season? Why did he not complete 70% of his
passes?
Because
he was on the ground.
No, but it was the offense. That's what it was. It was the offense. It wasn't the offensive line. It was the offense.
It was the system and the scheme.
Yeah. There was no fluidity last night. I would wholeheartedly agree with the entire Giants
no
fan
question.
Base. Nobody's arguing that. But, I mean, to say that Ben McAdoo threw his playbook out the window and said, you know what, guys, we're just going to throw the ball down the field, I wouldn't go that far. Bottom line was Eli Manning had no time. And this is what I brought up on the postgame show too, John. And we talked about this at great length last season. Manning is the quarterback that has the tendency, when things go wrong, especially with the offensive line, you start to hear the footsteps. You get the happy feet. And even when there's an opportunity to throw, you get a little leery.
I think that's all quarterbacks,
though. But Manning
in
particular.
That's Peyton Manning. That's Tom. We've seen it happen to Tom Brady this year when he's had bad games. It happens to Tony Romo. It happens to Matt Ryan. You saw Nick Foles make terrible passes yesterday when he got pressure put on him. That's it. You pressure quarterbacks, it gets in their head, they screw up. It's pretty simple.
And Peyton Manning was here at MetLife Stadium yesterday. The Jets were pressuring him.
They riled him
early in the game. You know what he did? He just went down. I mean, he said, you know what?
He bailed.
I'm not even going to try to press the envelope. I'm just going down.
All right, we got about 5 minutes to go here. We got two calls I want to get in. Let's go to – we're going to go to Ann of Virginia first. All right, Joe, let's go to Ann, and she'll be our next to last caller. Ann, go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. First and foremost, my prayers go out to Victor Cruz and his family for speedy recovery.
Thank you, Ann.
I'm just going to tell you what happened last night, and players need to man up and say it. The Giants were straight out-coached. Tom Coughlin was our coach. I knew we were in trouble when I saw him on the headset. And he had a direct line to the quarterback's ear. He was on the headset calling plays.
No, actually, and technically, according to NFL rules, people on the sideline cannot talk directly to the quarterback, so that's not true.
But he had that headset on. I saw it.
He has a headset on so he could speak to the guys up top.
He has a headset on every week.
They came in to run the ball. That was the thing. The game plan was to run the ball, short passes, nothing after the catch. They didn't even run back and beat last night. I saw that he tinkered with the offense and screwed it up. Secondly, the Eagles game plan, it's on their website. Pressure Eli. Take Eli Manning out of the game, and the Giants have no answer for it. And that's what they did last night.
That's every team's game plan every week to pressure the quarterback.
It's on there, but what he did, this is what Eli needed to. The Giants need to move Manning out of the pocket. Look, when he threw that ball to Victor Cruz in the end zone, he could have just ran it in. Look, the last game they played, it was Sunday against the Falcons. The guy, Lynch, was in the commentator. He said Tom Coughlin was really upset in the Redskins game because he didn't want Eli Manning running into the end zone and doing chest bumps and things like that. But nowadays, you cannot win if you don't move the quarterback around. They needed some design runs. I don't care if it was 2 yards or 5 yards. And they needed to stretch the field. You brought Beckham in to stretch the field, yet they had no stretch play.
Well, because he had no time to throw the football downfield.
But I'm saying the Eagles were just lined up, teeing off. You had to move him around in the pocket. This philosophy about, okay, this guy can't run. He doesn't have any ass. That's got to stop. Because right now the Giants need a leader, and they need to see the captain. The quarterback is the captain of the football team.
Hey, look, the one thing I'll agree with you on, after they had trouble protecting him in the pocket, if they wanted to do a couple of design rollouts or boots, I can get where you're coming from on that. But I am not signing up for design runs now, okay? But if you want
to
move him around, I'll buy that.
2 yards because they didn't have a screen gun. You had to throw the Eagles' defensive line off. because we couldn't protect the quarterback. So therefore, he has to move around and just, I don't care if it's for 2 yards or 3 yards. But Coughlin had no, the game plan was all wrong.
Now, and in fairness, though, early on, they did try a couple design screens that didn't work, and Eli was actually sacked on a couple of design screens.
Who did they use on the screen?
They had Peyton Hillis and Andre Williams.
Who did they use on the screen?
Peyton Hillis and Andre Williams.
Well, that was late in the game, but they tried to run Williams from the first play to all the way to the fourth quarter. They wanted to run the ball yesterday, and clearly they could not do it. But they didn't.
Wait, hold on, Ann. You're talking about a team that ran for at least 124 yards in three consecutive games.
Finish.
Are you telling me that the Giants should basically say, you know what, we can't run the ball, why even bother doing that?
But let me just say this much. The special teams have been horrible since Coughlin's tenure has been there. They can never get the Giants good field position. You have a guy catching a ball at the 10. You know, they can't get anything out of special teams, and that's the coaches. When we see special teams and all three phases bad, and somebody needs to call Coughlin on the call, you give him this tape and let him hear me say he was out-coached. Why can't they say that? Chip Kelly out-coached him yesterday. There were no adjustments made, and he was on their headset. And I'm going to be honest, no caller has called today. But what's so hard to say, hey, you were out-coached in all facets of the game. This special team has never helped.
Thank you, Ann.
Come on, get some non-special teams. Have a great day.
Appreciate it.
You know what I love sometimes about the fan base?
It's always on the coaches. It's always on the coaches.
The coaches didn't do a solid job yesterday. Nobody's arguing that.
Like we said earlier in the show, it's top to bottom. When you get killed like that, nobody had
correct.
No one did
well. But what I love about some fans is they need to hear Tom Coughlin go to the podium and say, you know what, I got outcoached.
And by the way, he did say that. His first line of his press conference, folks, this starts at the top. I did a terrible job this week. It was his damn quote. What else do you want the man to say?
Well, but and he did say that, but I just don't understand. Why do we need to hear it? I mean, do you really need to have somebody spell it out for you? We're smart enough. We could all connect the dots. As a fan base, as people who watch the game, we know they didn't play well and they didn't coach well.
And by the way,
it's stating the obvious at this point.
And what the players say, this isn't on the coaches, it's on us. That's what the players say after games like this.
Well, but that's players talk. You know, it's everybody speaks in generalizations. Sitting here and reading through all of the transcripts of what guys say after game, I mean, it's the same thing. We got to bounce back. We're going to have an emotional lift next week. It's all show-me time now in this league. That's what it is. You know, everybody read into the trash talk. Who cares what the Eagles said? Who cares what the Giants
said? None of that mattered,
by the way. Bottom line, the Eagles won 27-0. So, you know what? To the victor go the spoils. The old cliche. That's what it is. Who cares about the trash talk leading up to the game? They were manhandled, the Giants. Nobody needs to spell that out. You watch the game. We watch the game. It is what it is.
And everybody took responsibility for that in the postgame. From Tom Coughlin to the players that people talked to. No one was making excuses. No one was, you know, blaming anybody else. Everyone took it like a man and took blame like a man. Final call of the show. We go a little bit over here. Jordan from Colorado. Jordan, you're a final call of the show. What's going on?
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, Jordan.
Doing well.
How are you?
You know, I'm out here in Peyton Manning's shadow over here. I'm a loner out here, you know?
I feel you, man.
Guys, I got to tell you, first off, we'll start on a good note. I know a lot of callers have already touched on it. My heart goes out to Victor Cruz and his family. Really hope he gets a speedy recovery.
No question.
Guys, I'm in the military. You know, I got a certain way of thinking, and I got to tell you, accountability comes from the top. Now, granted, everybody has accountability for the way a team performs. But for me, I got to tell you, most of my time as a Giants fan, I'm young, guys. I'm only 26. A lot of my time as a Giants fan has been under the Coughlin era.
Yeah.
And granted, he got us two rings. Granted, he got us two rings, and those were great. And I hate the fact that I was overseas for both of those victories in the Super Bowl.
Thank you for your service, Bob.
The NFL today is such a dynamic league. It's ever-changing and ever-evolving. Teams are doing new things, you know. I mean, that offense last night of the Philadelphia Eagles, Chip Kelly and their coaching staff, the way they looked, you know, the players would look to that. They looked like a well-oiled machine, you know.
Yeah, but here's the funny thing.
Guys.
But the 3 weeks prior, the Eagles' offense looked horrible. Their offense couldn't
You're
move
right.
the ball. They couldn't run it. So I'm not sure where to go with this. Like I said at the start of the show, dude, it's a week-to-week league now. I mean, there was no way anybody would have thought this would have happened last night based on how the Eagles played the last 3 weeks and based on how the Giants played the last 3 weeks. This game literally came out of nowhere.
Jordan, just
you're
to piggyback off of what John said, and I'll let you continue, Jordan. I didn't mean to cut you off. I think what last night's game did was it created more questions than answers, because now we don't know what to make of the Giants' offensive line, and we also don't know how much stock to put into the Eagles' defense as well as the Eagles' offense, because that was somewhat of an anomaly in terms of their performance.
Right, right. And I got to tell you guys, you know, coming into the game, you know, I knew all the experts were picking us to take the Eagles, and given their performance over the past 3 weeks and our performance over the past 3 weeks, I got to tell you guys, whenever all the experts pick the Giants, it scares me. It makes me worried, because I've been a Giants fan for so long, especially under the Coughlin era, that this is classic Giants. This is classic Giants play. We start off hard, we get into a roll, we get into a good groove, and then and it's always against a divisional opponent. We'll face either the Eagles or the Redskins or the Cowboys, and then kaput. You know, they blast everything that we've been doing. And, you know, those are just tough divisional games, and I got that. But, you know, physical battles were lost. They just looked – the Giants looked as if, you know, they just didn't look like they were there. And I've seen that time and time again, year after year after year, in different games. They look sluggish. Hustle, you know, hustle. I mean, you watch teams like the Seattle Seahawks. You watch teams like the 49ers. Those guys hustle. They hustle. It doesn't matter if, you know, you got defenders and DBs that are nowhere near the ball. They are still hustling and running and taking those blocks and running toward that ball, because the play ain't dead until the whistle blows. You know what I mean? And too many times have I seen the Giants players just they're not hustling. They look sluggish, you know.
Jordan,
and that to me says that there's a lack of motivation there.
Well, I don't,
you know,
I don't know
and
if
motivation
it's a,
starts at the top.
I don't know if it's a lack of motivation. I mean, I would agree with you that the effort is not there consistently, but I think you brought up a good point, Jordan, and you hit on a trend within this organization, or at least within this team. Every season there seems to be, coming off a great performance, they have like this downer out of nowhere. And I was bringing up the schedule from 2012. If you remember, they beat up the Saints in week 14, 52-27. And then the following week, and they need to win these games to solidify a playoff spot, they lose 34-0 to the Falcons, and then they lose 33-14 to the Ravens. So, I mean, we have seen this time and time again.
Yeah.
Great performances. Right. And then all of a sudden, what follows, just this Debbie downer.
Jordan, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, guys. You guys have a great day.
You too, man. And the team doesn't seem to deal with prosperity well. And a lot of times off a bad loss, like, they'll come out, and next week they'll play a great game against Dallas.
Bizarre. And it wouldn't surprise me if they win a fairly dominant performance.
You know what, though? I know fans probably don't look at it this way, but I'd have to look at it too. But I'm sure a lot of teams say this about their teams. I think that's just the way the NFL is. Teams aren't consistent week to week. That's why there's parity. That's why anybody can make a run and win the Super Bowl any given year. But the Ravens, were the Ravens anywhere near being the best team in the league 2 years ago when they beat the Niners in the Super Bowl?
Not
they weren't even close to being the best team in the league.
We could say the same
year.
Thing about the Giants in 2011.
Not even close to being the best team in the league the whole year. They weren't even close. But look, from week to week, things change. You play well for 3 weeks, and you do what you did last night. I mean, what are you going to do?
That's why it's very hard to make sense of this. And I understand the frustration of the fans and people around the organization.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, nobody predicted this. I was absolutely flabbergasted watching that game yesterday. I didn't believe what I was watching.
No.
I was stunned.
There was no – based on what had happened so far this year with both teams, there was nothing that would have made you think last night was even possible. Possible.
I was not surprised by the Eagles' fast start. That didn't throw me off. But I was saying, okay, it's going to be an offensive shootout likely. Giants will respond. They'll get something going.
I figured it out.
Never came.
Eagles' black uniforms. It's the blackout.
There you go. I'm surprised nobody brought that up.
Very intimidating.
Yes. That was it.
It's very intimidating.
Apparently, they were dressing for a funeral or something. Wasn't that what everybody was talking about
somebody
during the course of the
funeral,
week?
Apparently.
Well, I guess that's what it turned out to be. But you could connect the dots right now. Yes, it must have been the black uniforms.
All right.
Threw off the Giants.
Lance, I'll be back with you tomorrow. We'll continue talking about Giants-Eagles. We'll also turn the page and begin to preview Giants and Cowboys coming up next Sunday at 4:25 down at AT&T Stadium down in Dallas. We'll probably have somebody from DallasCowboys.com come on and help preview that game. Cowboys coming off that big win against the Seahawks in Seattle yesterday. They're now tied with the Eagles 5-1 first place in the NFC East. Later on today, we'll have conference calls with the players. We'll have that audio for you up on Giants.com. We'll get Coach Coughlin, probably a couple players. I don't think we know who the players are quite yet. Tomorrow, the players' day off. And then, of course, we'll have Coach's Live Presser on Wednesday at 11. And then Big Blue Kickoff Live, of course, every day this week at noon. Lance and I back with you tomorrow. Make sure you check it out. Enjoy the rest of your day, folks, and we'll see you tomorrow on Giants.com. Have a good one.